very good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours, 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, July the 10th, 2016. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening,
the president was speaking in Bindura and he did acknowledge that we are facing some challenges. So there is no denying that the economy at the moment is facing some challenges.
President Robert Mugabe admits the economy is facing challenges at a rally held in Bindura last week, but economists say this may not be enough. Meanwhile, economists say Wednesday's stay away may have costed the country millions of dollars in revenue.
There has been a rough back-of-the-envelope calculation done, and it came to about $150 million. This was based on the fact that our gross domestic product is about $10 billion, and there are 260-something working days in the year. Therefore, one working day should produce around $150 million.
Missing activist Itai Dzamara's family says they will soon launch a documentary detailing his life history and his disappearance 16 months after he was abducted.
The documentary has been finalized. We worked on it tirelessly, and it's an epic product. Something that will go a long way insofar as even educating people regarding what really Itai represented, what he represents, and also on the issue of enforced disappearance.
Government's struggle to pay civil servants timelessly comes under scrutiny.
They are having problems now meeting their June salary commitments. Where will the money come from immediately for the July and August and other forthcoming salary commitments? So it's quite a gloomy scenario.
And as usual, we give you the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo. These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. President Robert Mugabe Friday admitted that the country's economy is facing challenges at a rally held in Bindura, but economists say this may not be enough, as no solutions were offered on how this government will remedy the situation. Meanwhile, the Employers' Confederation of Zimbabwe says employers are fearing the return of bond notes after the 2008 inflation faced by the country. EMCO's director John Mafukare tells Studio 7 about the effects of Wednesday's stay away, which he says may have costed the country millions of dollars in revenue.
There has been a rough back-of-the-envelope calculation done, and it came to about $150 million. This was based on the fact that our gross domestic product is about $10 billion, and there are 260-something working days in the year. Therefore, one working day should produce around $150 million.
But some critics will say that Zimbabwe has not been producing a lot and most of the people are not employed. So where does this figure come from?
Very good observation indeed. But remember, the gross domestic product is not only what is produced by the formal sector. It is what is the totality of what is produced in the country. Whether this is produced in the formal sector, in the informal sector, or even in the subsistence sector, all production in Zimbabwe.
And we are seeing that there have also been threats of more stayaways next week. What kind of impact do you think this will have on the economy?
As I said, what it will mean is that for each day that we stay away, we will have lost $150 million worth of production.
And there are some employers who are allegedly now wanting to prosecute their employees who didn't come to work. What does your organization say about this kind of threat?
We left it to each employer to look at the situation and decide what they were going to do. So if an employer had seen that the risk was worth taking and he had asked his employees to come to work and they didn't come to work, then it becomes an issue between the employer and his employees. So MCOS deliberately took a situation where we could not advise employers what to do. We asked each one to weigh their own risk and act accordingly.
And just looking generally at the state of the economy, what would you say as MCOS, where does Zimbabwe stand?
The president was speaking in Bindura and he did acknowledge that we are facing some challenges. So there is no denying that the economy at the moment is facing some challenges.
And we also heard the president speaking in Bindura saying that bond notes will be a reality. How do you think this is going to be received by the people that have been calling for the non-introduction of these bond notes?
Employers are, I think, understandably very worried about bond notes because everybody has still got scars arising from the 2008 fiasco. What we are looking at then is, will business still be able to operate in the face of this bond note? This is what is uppermost in every employer's mind. We have been assured that there is not going to be a printing of bond notes without the backing of actual US dollars to back those bond notes. But we look at the quantum of $200 million and say, honestly, what effect is that going to have if we have got $5 billion in circulation at the moment? What effect will $200 million bond notes have on the $5 billion in circulation? So one just has this fear that maybe the bond notes that will be produced might be more than the $200 million, and then we will set off the kind of inflation that we had in 2008 again. That is the fear of every business person.
That was MCOS Director John Mufukare in Harare. Missing activist Itai Dzamara's family say they will soon launch a documentary detailing his life history and his disappearance 16 months after he was abducted. His brother Patson Dzamara talks to Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri about a decision by the High Court to ban him and his family from demonstrating in the Africa Unity Square and the introduction of the documentary.
I'm here to confirm with our lawyer. However, I read about that. In the event that it is true, I think we pretty much have two options. The first option being that of escalating the matter or appealing against the judgment, which I think we will do. And then secondly, as you might be aware, our 5-6 program, even though it is or it was the flagship of our program, it's not the only program we've engaged or engaging in our activism. There's so many programs. And so this will not certainly signal the end of our processes and programs. We will continue the activism in whatever way, on whatever way there. But this will not in any way dampen our spirit. This will not in any way break our spine. We will continue, we will keep on keeping on.
This month marks 16 months after the disappearance of Mr. Itai Dzamara. What are you doing to commemorate or to remember him as a family or as the organization that he worked with?
This month, we actually in the process of arranging and planning to launch a documentary on the life of the guy. We're still filling up insofar as the logistics are concerned. And once all is filled up, we'll be in a position to publicize the final details. But what I can actually say is that the documentary has been finalized. We worked on it tirelessly, and it's an epic product. Something that will go a long way insofar as even educating people regarding what really the guy represented, what he represents, and also on the issue of enforced disappearances. And so as soon as we firm up on the logistics, we'll certainly publicize the details as to when and where it's going to be launched. But that's going to be the hallmark activity this year as we commemorate 16 months since the abduction, the morbid abduction of Itai Dzamara.
That was Patson Zamara, the brother of missing activist Itai Zamara, in Harare, speaking to Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri. Government's struggle to pay civil servants timelessly comes under scrutiny, with economists saying they may continue if various pressing issues are not addressed. Labour and Economic Development Institute of Zimbabwe Director Godfrey Kanyenze speaks to Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri on the issue.
Well, it's already a sign that times are quite difficult. Government is falling on very, very difficult days, where it is now struggling even to pay salaries. And by the way, we already know that salaries were taking up more than 80% of the budget. So in essence, this is quite a desperate situation, and there is no immediate respite. You cannot foresee a situation where if they fail, they are having problems now meeting their June salary commitments. Where will the money come from immediately for the July and August and other, you know, forthcoming salary commitments? So it's quite a gloomy scenario. If you are failing already to pay your commitments, to meet your commitments in June, then basically it tells you that the immediate future is not as easy as one would want to believe. So in essence, therefore, we are undergoing very difficult times. The government is falling on dead days, and it will be quite difficult in the short term to see how they will be able to address this without really fully reintegrating into the international community, without basically undertaking the structural reforms that are required to kickstart the economy.
Then on the issue of the import bans, do you think it was timely?
Well, timing in economic policy formulation is critical. I don't think that the timing was good, in the sense that if you impose, not necessarily a ban, but you introduce import licenses so that you manage the rate at which you are importing, the assumption basically is that your local industry that you seek to promote has got the capacity to immediately fill in the void, to fill in the gap. So unfortunately, there are other issues, factors that are critical, in the sense that you look at where our industry is at the moment. They are settled with old and outdated machinery and technology, which needs to be replaced. They are settled with serious challenges in terms of accessing and the cost of credit. They are settled with challenges in terms of provision of utilities such as water, electricity, and so forth. So in essence, unless and until you address these issues, industry will not be able to produce and substitute for the imports as government wants.
That was Labour and Economic Development Institute of Zimbabwe Director Godfrey Kanyenze speaking with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri. Coming up, the Youth Forum with Tsatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. And today I'm gladly joined by Hilary Musarurwa, who is the director of the Practical Empowerment and Networking Youth Association. Hilary, thank you so very much for joining me.
Thank you, Jacinda, for hosting me.
Hilary, of course, this past week we saw Zimbabweans engage in a stay away where majority seemed decided to stay home, heeding the calls of movements such as This Flag and Tajamuka. What was your take?
Well, I think some people have tried to dismiss this stay away, but for me, it was a great success.
And do you think that this stay away was effective? Is it easy to measure its effectiveness?
Okay, if you look at business that did not function on that day, it can give you a degree of measure. If you look at the revenue that was not generated that day in terms of the so-called roadblocks, because I don't think any of those police officers manning roadblocks got any car to get a fine from. So if you look down the line, that stay away had an impact. The only challenge is to measure it will be difficult because we're looking at an economy that is not functional. So in terms of direct measurement, it might be difficult, but I can say it had an impact, and the economists can do the math, and so definitely tell you that the stay away was effective.
Now, Pastor Ivan Mawarire tweeted that a shutdown Zimbabwe 2016 will continue on Wednesday the 13th and the 14th of July. What's your take on, you know, the movement itself pushing on with this continued shutdown?
Well, in this case, I don't think it's the movement itself that will be pushing for the continuous shutdown. It's the citizens of Zimbabwe. And I'll say, why stop now? Because nothing has changed. We still have the regime in power. We still have policies that are anti-poor. We still have a lot of unaccountability and lack of transparency. We still have problems in Zimbabwe. So if we say we continue next week, so be it. And maybe take it a bit further. Why not just help the government, which is failing to pay salaries, and declare that every Wednesday is Stay Away Wednesday? So that we do it every Wednesday or twice a week until something shifts, until someone says, look, we really need to take people seriously. Because the reaction that we got from the government tells us that they're taking us for fools or for people who are not serious. So the seriousness will be seen by redoing it. And I need to emphasize that it just has to be a stay away. Stay at home, stay away, and don't go onto the streets. No violence. That way no one is going to come knock by your door and say, go and do something because I'm staying away because I'm not employed. So where do you want me to go?
Now, of course, there are those Zimbabweans on the ground who heeded these calls, but there's also Zimbabweans in the diaspora who are following intently and want to participate. How can, in your view, Zimbabweans in the diaspora manage to really participate in this movement?
Well, I think it's twofold. One, in whatever country we are in, there is a Zimbabwean embassy or a Zimbabwean representative office there. So people in the diaspora can march to those offices, put in petitions, have a demonstration at those offices to just register their displeasure. I think that's one thing that the people in the diaspora can do. The second one is also petition other international organizations and international institutions. Let's march to their doors and demand that the Zimbabwe case be given serious consideration because without a push, things are not going to change. So I'll say to those in the diaspora, go out in your numbers. Wherever you are, go out in your numbers, march to the embassies, march to the consulates, and voice out your dissatisfaction. The other way is help those on the ground. Right now, people are being arrested. People are in police holding cells. They need food. So if people can send money to those on the ground to help in coordinating getting food to the people who are in police custody right now, that's another way the people in the diaspora can help. But I think we need to go past keyboard activism. Those in the diaspora can help with their funds. They can help by also marching.
And with that, Hillary, I want to say thank you so very much for taking your time to chat with me here on the Youth Forum.
Thank you very much, Katena.
That was Hillary Musarurwa, Director of the Practical Empowerment and Networking Youth Association, joining me today on the Youth Forum. This is Tatenda Gumbo, and as usual, make sure you join me next time.
Thank you, Tatenda Gumbo. This is Studio 74 Zimbabwe coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. Now to recap on today's top stories. President Robert Mugabe admits the economy is facing challenges at a rally held in Bindura last week, but economists say this may not be enough. Meanwhile, economists say Wednesday's stay away costed the country millions of dollars in revenue. And missing activist Itai Zamara's family say they will soon launch a documentary detailing his life history and his disappearance 16 months after he was abducted. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, July the 10th, 2016. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a great week ahead.